sing.
Today, and it simply reads, you will be his witness to all people of what you have seen and heard. Amen. And the title of the sermon this morning is, You Should Be a Witness. You Should Be a Witness. Some years ago, a songwriter by the name of Charles Nix wrote a song called, You Should Be a Witness. It was a challenge to those in the audience and those singing to make it a point to be a witness for the Lord. The more the lyrics were repeated, the more the audience and the choir would become excited about being a committed witness for the Lord. How many know we are commissioned by God or Jesus Christ our Lord to be witnesses about who he is? Anybody know that? Witnesses about what he has done for us. We should be telling each other. Witnesses about how he brought us out of certain situations or different situations. Witnesses about his healing power. And witnesses about his forgiving power. Everybody in the sanctuary today should have a testimony about what God has done for them. Everybody in the sanctuary. If I say, stand up right now, we're about to have a testimony service, everybody should pop up like popcorn and say what he's done for them. Amen?
Amen.
Everybody in the room should have a testimony about God's goodness. Everybody in the room should have a testimony about God's saving power. Everybody in the room should be able to tell the story about the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That he loved us so much that he decided to die on the cross for each and every one of us in this room today. It is our job, according to Matthew 28:19, that he had been given all authority in heaven and earth to make disciples of all nations. God gave Jesus that authority. And Jesus, in turn, gave his disciples that authority. And to make more disciples. We are commanded by Jesus Christ to tell others of the good news and make them disciples. Amen?
Amen?
Everybody in the room should be a witness. Not just the preacher, not just the elders, not just the deacons, but everyone should be a witness of Jesus Christ. The issue is not, do I want to be a witness, but rather, what kind of witness do I want to be? What kind of witness am I? How can I improve my witness? Whether we like it or not, when you decided to make Jesus Christ your Savior, you became what? A witness for Jesus Christ. The life-transforming work of the Holy Spirit compels a man to show the newness of Christ that dwells within. Paul says it different in Corinthians 5:20. He calls us ambassadors for Christ. Now he says we are ambassadors for Christ. That's what the scripture says. Think about the duties of an ambassador. Think about the privileges of an ambassador. An ambassador dwells in a foreign land for the purpose of representing his own sovereign and his interests. It is the same way in the things of the Lord. Every Christian is an ambassador for Christ. We are his representatives. How many know that today? We are his representatives. 2 Corinthians 5 says that we are commissioned by God to be ambassadors for Christ. Once we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, the recruitment of others begins. We become ambassadors for the kingdom of God. God tells us to go ye and that he will be with us every step of the way. How many know you're not alone when you're witnessing? His Spirit is with you everywhere you go. Revelations 2:10 said, if we are faithful unto death in our witnessing and as being ambassadors, he will give us a crown of life. We do not all have the same abilities and talents. We do not all have equal opportunities. Nevertheless, all are commissioned to represent the kingdom of Jesus Christ in an honorable way. What do you mean? Equal opportunities, same abilities, and same talents. Well, for instance, I'm the preacher. Everybody can't preach. Amen? We have the organist, the person that picks out the hymns every Sunday. Everybody can't play. I'm not a player. My brother plays the piano. I'm a singer. I have many things that God has given me. So I have many things that I have to offer to give to people when I began to witness to them. And so do you. You have not even tapped in to the abilities that God has given you to be able to witness to others. We do not all have the same abilities and talents. We do not all have equal opportunities. Nevertheless, all are commissioned to represent the kingdom of Jesus Christ in an honorable way. The problem is we are not faithful representatives. We are not faithful ambassadors. We are not faithful witnesses. The New Testament is filled with examples of those who obeyed the command and fulfilled their responsibility of being witnesses. The first chapter of John will serve best to illustrate how John's witnessing came forth. John must have been one of the greatest recruiters because most of the disciples were recruited by him. Amen? From the time he was convinced of who Jesus was, John began to recruit. John recruited his brother James, Peter and Andrew, who were all partners in the fishing business before they became disciples of Christ. John also pastored a church in Ephesus, so his discipleship continued throughout the New Testament teaching. John's witnessing did not stop at the death of Christ. It went on and on. It did not end until the book of Revelation. Amen? An obligation gripped Paul's soul as well. Once the passion overwhelmed him in Romans 1:15, Paul says he is ready to preach the gospel. That was his way of witnessing. Here's what I want to know. Do we have any witnesses in the building? If so, say amen.
Amen.
Do we have any ambassadors for Christ in the building?
Amen.
Amen. Do we have anybody in the building who would like to be a witness for the Lord? Before we get started, as in any position we must apply, that we apply for, there are requirements. You know, when you go on a job interview, they tell you what you have to do in the requirements. What are they? I'm glad you asked. The requirements are spiritual, not academic. You don't have to be formally trained. Here's what you do. You need the job description. You need a prepared heart. You must be totally surrendered. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your what? Reasonable service. We have to have cleansed lives. 2 Timothy says, we should be meat for the master's use. That means that we should be available for God to use us at any time. We should have filled lives. A life emptied of self and cleansed of God is a life ready to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Anybody in here ready to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Amen?
Amen.
There are other requirements that could be listed. However, these are the ones that stand out to me the most. The others could be listed under the four that are listed above. As we prepare to witness, we must pray. And we must ask the Holy Spirit to guide us. Ask the Holy Spirit to empower us. Ask the Holy Spirit to control our tongues. You know, sometimes we'll just keep talking and talking and talking, and we kind of run out. So we ask the Holy Spirit to guide our tongues or control our tongues so that we will be saying the right things to the right people. Amen? Because we don't know what to say, sometimes the wrong things, we represent Christ. When we say the wrong things, we have to remember who we represent. We are representing Christ and Him crucified. Remember, we cannot save anybody. That's not our job. Our job is not to save, but our job is to witness. However, it is our responsibility to get the message of gospel of Jesus Christ to the people. The big question is, how do we do it? How do I get the message out? We hand out material, gospel tracts, friendly letters, an invitation to service. That's for the people that are bashful, don't want to really talk. Well, if you have those different literatures at your disposal, when you're talking to people or when you greet people, you just give them the tract. I remember I was standing in the line when I was working at Sherwin-Williams, and a guy before me gave me a pay it forward card, and he bought my lunch, my breakfast that morning. And he said, take this card. And I was like looking at it, I was like, oh my God, this is a good way to minister to people or to invite people to your church just through the card. Amen? A friendly letter or an invitation to service or special services or to Bible study. Remember, it's not our job to save anyone. Only Jesus saves. We only carry the message to the people. Amen? Amen. Our responsibility is to, one, testify. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we are testifying about some of the things that we through or that God brought us through, that they might be able to bring that person you're talking to through. Number two, while we were yet sinners, Romans 8:5-8 says, Christ died for all of us. Number three, the gospel is a message about man's need to trust Christ as his only savior from sin. That's John 1:12. That's from sin. John 1 and 12 says, but as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John 3:16 says, for God, everybody knows this, don't they? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's why I love him, because he loved me so much that he gave his life for me. I love him because by his stripes, I am healed. Anybody know that today? I love him so much because he doesn't care how I look. He doesn't care about my flaws. He doesn't care about my past. He is concerned about my future. He wants to know where I'm going. What are we going to do after today? Amen? One thing I do know is I love him. And you know what? He loves me too, with all my flaws. And as I leave you today, I say you should be a witness. You should be a witness. You ought to tell somebody, I want to be a witness for the Lord. Don't be ashamed, the song says. Don't be ashamed, and I don't want anybody in this room anymore after today to be ashamed, to be a witness for the Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen.